The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back to Genesis chapter 37, book of Genesis chapter 37, if you will, and look at verses 23 and 24. Genesis chapter 37 and verses 23 and 24, where the Bible says this, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, many colors that was on him." Now we understand that Joseph, I believe, probably the favorite of his dad, and his dad made him a very special coat. Now, by the way, the other fellas did not get that special coat. And so there was jealousy, and not just for that reason only. There was jealousy for many reasons. But that was, I believe, evidence of some of the jealousy that was going on inside of this particular household. And so we understand that these fellows, every time they saw Joseph and they saw that colorful coat, it just reminded them of some of the things they did not like about Joseph. I mean, can you imagine? Joseph had the audacity to be able to come and to be able to share a dream that he had. By the way, he was known as the dreamer. He didn't have just one dream. He had many dreams. But can you imagine? All of a sudden now, the brothers come and Joseph shares his dream with those that are the brethren and shares about the dream that one day they're going to bow down and, if you would please, almost in their minds, give homage to him. But one day he shared that dream, and boy, they didn't like that. Matter of fact, he shared the dream with his mom and daddy, and his mom and daddy didn't even like the dream. Now, can I tell you, sometimes God places a dream inside of your heart. It might be a dream to do something great for God. It might be a dream that you could rise up and accomplish something that God uniquely has called you to do. And if you're not careful, those around you can discourage you from fulfilling the dreams that God has placed inside of your heart. Sometimes those that discourage you the most are those that are closest to you, because not only do they see your strengths, but they also see your weaknesses. And most of the time, people do not judge you by your strengths, sad to say, but most of the time, people judge you by your weaknesses. Most of the time, when you get close to somebody and you find out their weaknesses, it is the weaknesses of man that causes you not to trust them the way that you are supposed to trust them, because you see their weaknesses. And over and over again, many times more than not, a person's weakness will overshadow that which is their strength in the minds and the hearts of people that are close to them. Example, you see marriage after marriage. They get married. They love each other deeply. They get married. They're madly in love. They are just so in love with each other, they could eat each other up. And then after they get married, I hear it often, "Oh, I wish I would have ate her, and that way I'd be rid of her, you know." But what happens is this. By the way, she wouldn't taste good, just to let you know. But what happens is this. When people have close relationships, okay, it happened. You join a ministry. You join maybe the bus ministry, or maybe you join a choir, maybe you join something like that. You know, from the outside, it looks good. But when you're on the inside, now you get to see, oh, it's not as hot as what I thought it was. See, by the way, that's what your mom and daddy thought about you when you were born. They thought, wow, this is hot, this is good. Then all of a sudden you grew up and they thought, oh, this is not as hot as what I thought it was, you know. And especially when you reach those teenage years and you get stubborn on your parents, you know. But now watch this, if you will. We understand that we have different things that we go through in our life. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on escaping your pit. Escaping your pit. 99% of all the pits that you read about in the Bible are not good pits. When you go through a time of having a distressful time in your life, most of the time you don't look back at that and say that was a wonderful time. Now, we do look back at that time, maybe a personal pit that you find yourself in, and we say, boy, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Matter of fact, I learned more from being in the pit about my surroundings and about how I was supposed to respond when I was going through that time of devastation, hardship, than I would have learned had I not had that in my life. So most of the time you can learn from stuff like that. The pit in your Bible is mentioned 83 times. In the pit, you see that people that are in different variations of pits, they don't say, boy, I just loved it while I was in the pit. I admire people that live in the pit. You don't hear people walking around today even saying, well, if I had a choice, I'd like to build my house in the pit. I'd like to live in the pit. And most of the time, you don't hear that whatsoever. But you hear people saying, boy, I tell you what, I had a hard time. And they describe it, and it sounds like a pit. In World War II, they would butcher the Jews, and they would throw the Jews into pits. When I preached in Phnom Penh, Cambodia for years, every year I go to Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and I do pastor conferences in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And of course, in Phnom Penh, you have the killing fields. And I remember the first time they ever took me to the killing fields, and they'd take me into the schools where they would turn these schools into prisons. And they would take me to different schools. They're still there today. Of course, they're museums now. But they would take me to these schools, and they would show how they would torment people and torture people. And then after that, they would march them out. They would take a machete, and they'd cut their heads off, and they'd push the rest of their bodies into a pit. Can I tell you that in Vietnam, when a POW was thrown into prison, it was a place of torture, if you will, please, and many of them were likened onto pits. In the Bible, you see the word pit mentioned, as I mentioned a moment ago, 83 times, but there's other places that are not called pits, but are likened onto pits, such as the time when Jeremiah was thrown into a dungeon. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 6, the Bible says, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into a dungeon that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah," it says, "with cords," stay with that word there, "with cords," the Bible says, "and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk into the mire." And so this was a time in Jeremiah's life where he was actually thrown into a dungeon that was likened onto a pit. Now, maybe a pit or maybe a dungeon might be a time of disparity in your life, might be a time of depression in your life, might be a difficult time in your life. Perhaps it could be compared to a time of being in debt. Maybe it could be compared to a time of going through a depressed time. Maybe it could be a hardship that's in your life. Maybe it's a time when you battle alcohol, or maybe it's a time when you battle somebody that's a gossiper. Maybe it's a time where you battle depression in your own life. There's people that battle drugs. It's like a pit. There are people that battle laziness. It's like a pit. There are people that battle gluttony. It's like a pit. There's people that battle being disobedient, if you will, to their parents. It's a continual haunting, and they continue to be disobedient to their parents, and they live in a pit. There are those that battle lust. It's a pit. Those that battle pride is a pit. Those that battle the endlessness and restlessness and the anxiety is a pit. Those that battle so many different types of things is likened onto a pit. Now, what I want to do tonight is I simply want to preach just a very basic message tonight to you as a believer as how in the world you can escape your pit. What can you do? What can you do to be able to get out of the pit that you find yourself in? God doesn't want you to live there. God doesn't want you to abide there. God does not want you to take up residence there. God does not want you to become so familiar with it that yes, like Jonah in the belly of the whale, became so comfortable that he fell asleep in his pit. He doesn't want you to take up a comfortability in living in your pit. Now, I'm going to tell you, though, if you're not careful, that's the state that you'll find yourself in. I found people that are backslidden that are happy that they're backslidden. That's a horrible state to be in. Now, by the way, they don't get the blessings of God. They're just miserable as far as their relationship with God. But what they do is they drown themselves in booze, or they drown themselves in drugs, and by the way, a pleasure is only good for a season. And eventually that pleasure is going to run out. All right, so what can you do? Now, I'm going to use some signs, if I may, as I did this morning in the preaching time. But I want us to understand that there is that which is a condition of the pit. So, and I've got some fellows that have come up and helped me that we've asked ahead of time. All right, so what is the condition of a pit? What is it that you face inside of a pit? Well, you think about this. When the Bible talks about a pit in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 24, it talks about a place of loneliness. When the Bible talks about a pit in Genesis chapter 37, verse 24, and in Ezekiel chapter 9 and in verse 11, talks about dryness. When it talks about wilderness, it names a pit in Genesis 37 and verse 22. When it talks about bars in Job chapter 17 and verse 16, it talks about a pit there. When it talks about going down into a pit, there's Job 33 and in verse 24, Psalm 28 and in verse 1. It talks about a pit being a place of darkness in Job. Job chapter 33 and in verse 28 talks about a pit being a horrible place. In Psalm 40 and in verse 2 talks about the pit being a place of destruction. In Psalm 55 and verse 23, a place of draining in Psalm, listen to it now, 88 and in verse 4. Talks about the pit being a place of deepness in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 14. Talks about a pit being a place of narrowness in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 27. Talks about the pit being a place of corruption in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. It talks about a pit and being a place of hopelessness in Isaiah chapter 38. And in verse 18, talks about the pit of being a place of death in Isaiah 51 and verse 14. Talks about the pit and being a place of fear in Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 43. And it talks about the pit as being a place of bottomlessness and the bottomless pit of Revelation chapter 9 and in verse 1. Now, by the way, God created you to have a good relationship with Him. But what you're going to find out that when you're in the pit, it severs any relationship that you have in being able, if you will, please, to be able to restore or restore others to God, because after all, you're in a pit. Think about the condition of the pit. It's dry. Think about the condition of the pit. It's lonely. Think about the condition, if you will, please, of the pit. Nobody wants to stay in the pit. Nobody wants to live in the pit. God created you with fellowship, and if you're not in good fellowship with God, here's what happens in your personal life. You begin to feel lonely. You will. And you will try substitutionarily to get fulfillment in your life, but you can't find fulfillment. You'll try it maybe through sports, but you cannot find the fulfillment. The problem is not that there's a problem here with your relationship. The problem is there is a relationship problem here between you and your God. And because there's a relationship problem between you and your God, what takes place, I don't care what you try to do to be able to bring joy in your life, it always comes back to emptiness. I don't care what you try and do in your life to be able to feel fulfilled in your life. You always wake up in the morning feeling like something is missing. Why? Because I'm telling you the truth, something's missing. And if you don't have a relationship with your God, that's why God created you. God created you to have fellowship with Him and to be responsible as a believer, to be obedient to Him. And when you don't have, you cannot blame your mama for that. And you cannot blame your daddy for that. And you cannot blame your brother for that. You cannot blame your sister for that. You cannot blame your principal for that. You cannot blame the preacher for that. Can I tell you, the only person that you can blame when you don't have a good relationship between you and God is you. Oh, but I tell you what, I'm having a hard time living for God. It's because my parents are who they are. Oh, stop it. Well, I'm having a hard time living for God because I've got a friend that's not living for God. Well, that's your fault. There's a whole world of friends out there. You don't have to choose the one that's not living for God to be your friend. You can choose anybody you want to be your friend. You don't have to choose somebody that's not separated or not somebody that's trying to live for God or not surrendered or not trying to give themselves to the Lord. There's choices in life. You can choose, if you want to, a drug addict to be your best friend if you want to. You can choose somebody, if you want to, that's a drunkard to be your best friend if you want to. And by the way, you listen to me, you have that which is a command by God to protect your children. Right. Now you need to rise up on your hind legs and protect your children. Amen. Make sure that your children are choosing good, godly friends. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. The friends that they have are not bad friends. That's not the that's not the subject matter. Are they spiritual friends? Are they obedient to God type of friends? Because if they're spiritual friends, then they're going to get a better overall view. And come on, I'd rather my kid have a spiritual friend than somebody that's unspiritual, because when hard times come, at least the spiritual friend's going to have enough common sense and decency to put that emphasis on you need to get to God, you need to pray, God can come through and God can help you and God can encourage you. And I'm saying this, dear friend, please listen to me. You don't want to live all of your days in the pit, because if you decide to live all of your days in the pit, it's going to be a very, very lonely place for you. I'm saying statement number one, there's the condition of the pit. Statement number two, and here it is tonight as we move speedily along, and David stand right here, there's a challenge of the pit. You know, most people cannot get out of a pit by themselves. Did you know that? You know, most people, you heard about, I love the story, you heard about the two men that was in the graveyard. And boy, this one fell, you know, he went running through the graveyard late at night. I don't know what in the world he's doing running through the graveyard late at night. But he found himself running through the graveyard late at night. Well, there's a fresh dug pit. I'm talking about a place that they dug the grave. And just a freshly dug one, you know, because they're going to put a body in it the next morning. And so they dug it that night. That way they could have the morning off. And so they dug it. It sat empty all that night until this fellow come running along. And boy, he's running through the graveyard. Who knows why? And so here he is. Might be running from, maybe he robbed the store. I don't know. Maybe he's running from his wife. I have no idea. Maybe he's running from life's responsibilities. I do not know. But he's running through the graveyard late at night. And all of a sudden, he winds up falling in the pit. Boy, for 2 hours, this old boy, he hollered and he screamed and he yelled and he just tried to get out of the pit. Help me, he'd holler. Let me out of here. Help me, he'd holler. And nobody would come. Nobody would come help him out of the pit. And man, for 2 hours, he exhausted himself. He jumped up and down. He tried to climb outside the pit. He tried to grab everything he could to try and get out of the pit. He could not get out of the pit. And 2 hours, he gave up. He was just totally mentally and physically exhausted. And he decided, well, I'll just have to wait till morning. And so he went over in a corner area of the pit, and he just sat down there. Oh, after about another 2 hours went by before the sun was about to rise, there came another fellow running through the graveyard at night. Now, how coincidental is that? And so he came running through the graveyard at night, coming down across the pathway. This one fellow had run just 4 hours prior, and he falls in the pit. Oh, he too wants out. Nobody likes being in the pit. Everybody wants out of the pit. Nobody likes living in the pit. It's damp in the pit. It's lonely in the pit. It's depressive in the pit. I mean, you have crawly things that crawl all over you in the pit. If you lay in the pit, you're going to have all sorts of things that crawl up your nose and crawl in your ear. It's going to crawl over your hair. I mean, boy, I tell you, nobody likes living in the pit. Nobody likes to be in the bottom of the pit. And so this old boy, he's trying to get out. He jumps. He tries to climb. He can't climb. He hollers and nobody answers. This other guy had fallen asleep over in the pit, but when this guy fell in the pit, he woke up, he decided, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to see if he can get out. I'm just going to watch him. And so this other fella, he's climbing, he's screaming, he's hollering, he's trying to get out, and finally, after he got exhausted, after about 2 hours of trying, the fellow sitting over there in his quietness over in the corner simply uttered the words, "You'll never get out of here." Now the story ends this way, but he did. But he needed some help. He needed some help. How often have I, as a preacher, been to the hospital and somebody's been diagnosed with cancer? How often have I, as a preacher, been to the hospital and somebody has been diagnosed with heart failure? How often have I been to the hospital and somebody's laying there on their deathbed and they're saying, "Preacher, if you'll pray and get a hold of God, and if God would let me out of here, I'll serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life." How often I heard people cry out because they're challenged by the situation of their pit. How many times have we seen teenagers get right with God all of a sudden because a relationship that they were in went south? How many times have we seen God use the time of financial reversal when all of a sudden somebody was used to a lucrative lifestyle and then God rips out the carpet and now they have no money whatsoever? And how many times have we seen that down through the years of ministry where God puts you in a conditional state of being so that you would be able to call out on Him and let Him get you outside of the pit? And nobody likes the challenge of a pit. Nobody likes it. Boy, we like it when we get raises. We like it when the car runs well. We like it when the relationships are smooth. We like it when everything is fine and dandy inside of the church. We like it when everybody in the choir does a superb job in singing and everybody hits their note, nobody steps on somebody else's note. We like it when all of a sudden mom and daddy are nice to us. We like it when all of a sudden things are going right. We like it. We like to hear the numbers, as we said, 200 plus people getting saved this past Saturday. Oh, we like that. Boy, we like that. Boy, we like it when we hit the high numbers and you see 1,000 people plus come to the church place here. You know, we like stuff like that, don't we? We like that. Boy, we like it all of a sudden when somebody gives us a gift, whether it be a small gift or whether it be a moderate gift or whether it be a large gift. Oh, we like it. We like it. We like it when somebody comes up and they say, boy, I tell you, we had a guy visiting here this morning. And he said, boy, he said, I heard that this church was pastored by a northern fella. And so I wanted to come hear the northern fella. I said, what'd you think? He said, man, you hit me square between the eyes. He said, you just hit me. And Brother Lofton told me, he said, you should have told him you were aiming for his stomach. You'll get that after a while. Now, but there's the challenge of the pit. There's the challenge of the pit. Now, can I tell you this? Listen, did you know you're going to have challenges in your life? We got young couples in this room tonight. They're fixing to get married. Can I tell you right now, it looks all hunky-dory-dory. I mean, he looks like the knight in shining armor. But after a while, that armor's going to squeak. And it's going to require a lot of maintenance. There's the challenge of the pit. Can I tell you, listen, in pastoring a church, can I tell you there's many challenges in pastoring a church? And you know, the more we grow, the blessing it is you've got dear people that you fall in love with and you want to counsel and help and encourage and stuff like that. But can I tell you, there's challenges there? Can I tell you, if God calls you into evangelism, there's challenges there. If God calls you to be a counselor, there's challenges there. If God opens the door and you receive teaching a Sunday school class, there's challenges there. There's challenges in being a dad. There's challenges in being a mom. There's challenges in being a teenager and trying to live right. Everybody has challenges in their life. You're going to have different challenges in your life. It's not like anybody else's challenges that's in this room. They're going to be uniquely designed just for you. And God's going to allow you to go through those challenges. And those challenges may be difficult. Those challenges may be very, very real, but hard. There's physical challenges. Our Lord faced that in Luke chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, in being 40 days, tempted the devil. The Bible says, in those days, he did eat nothing. And when he was ended, he was afterward and hungered. The Bible says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. All right, so our Lord was even challenged physically as the devil came after him and tempted him. Did you know that when you're in the pit in your life, can I tell you, you're going to find more challenges here physically than you've ever found in your life. You have ever found in your life. Oh, it was about 3-4 weeks ago, I guess, and I wasn't going to share it until I found out what was wrong with me. But about 3-4 weeks ago, man, I don't know what happened to me, but I blacked out my office. I mean, I don't know what it was, but just totally blacked out. And I was sitting there in my office desk, and all of a sudden, boom, it just hit, boom. Sharp pains here. And I thought, oh, man, I'm too young. I'm too young, you know, and immediately you start thinking heart, you know, stuff like that. Well, I have some doctor friends over in the Philippines, so I just put it off, you know, because it's cheaper there. And so I said, I'll just wait until I go to the Philippines to check. And boy, but this thing kept hurting and hurting and hurting. And I thought, no, I can't do it. So I just wait. So I waited until I got to the Philippines. And I made a doctor's appointment with a friend of mine that owns a hospital, by the way, over there. And it was set up through some of the dear people at the church I was preaching at or whatever, and I guess they have the interconnections there, and they're really my friends, and so they set all this stuff up for me. And so I went in, and boy, they checked the cardiologist or whatever they do over there, and they checked the blood and stuff like that. And me and Brother Ray are sitting there in the same room, and they're taking blood. Now, you know Brother Ray's a card, don't you? So he told that nurse, he said, oh, be careful about his blood, he's got AIDS. And then he said this. He said, also, be careful about him. Not only that, but he said he faints. He faints a lot. He can't stand the sight of his own blood. He faints. So this dear lady taking my blood, she kept looking up to me. Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. And she put that syringe around, and she tightened it up, and she said, are you okay now? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I'm fine. And then she got this long needle, it was about that long, and she went like that and went like that, you know. And she said, okay. She said, are you okay? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And she said, okay, now this is going to hurt just a little bit. Are you sure you're going to be okay? I said, ma'am, I'm fine. He's the one that needs help over there. And so they stuck me with that thing, and they found out, of course, I've got inflammation around the lung and stuff like that, and so that's how come the pain and stuff. But, man, I've got a strong heart. Amen. I mean, I'll be your pastor till I'm 102. Amen. All right. Now, can I say this? But there's challenges. There's challenges. You're going to go through challenges. Man, I was in there eating in the function room that they have at that church, and I was waiting on the results. I had no idea what the results was, but some news had kind of leaked out that I went to the hospital and whatnot, and then they started asking questions to different ones, and so Brother Ray kept telling, yeah, he's got heart trouble. Said he probably won't be with us very long. Man, he's spreading all this stuff. You know, and then all of a sudden, one of the preacher friends that was there came up to me and he said, oh, I heard. He said, I heard you got bad results. I said, you did? I said, who told you? They said, oh, Brother Ray. I said, oh, no, forget it. Just forget it. All right. Now, I'm saying, but there's challenges. There's challenges. You're going to have different challenges in your life. You're going to have different things that come across. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be a child that goes wayward. It might be a marriage that becomes dysfunctional. It might be that you have financial reversal. It might be that you have all these things that come against you. Now, don't forget that our Lord even went through challenges in his own earthly ministry. And yet he had the common sense to go back to the Bible. He had the common sense to go back to his Father. Now, can I tell you, when you're challenged in your life and you find yourself in the pit, use some common sense. Young people, don't go running off into the world. Well, things are not treating me right in the Christian realm, and so therefore, I'm just going to throw it to the wind and go out into the world. Don't do that. Don't be somebody that does something that is just so wrong and so way out there. Don't give up on God, and don't give up on Christians, and don't give up on your Bible, and don't give up on your pastor, and don't give up on preachers. Don't give up on people. Just because somebody treats you wrong one day doesn't mean that that's the way all of the society is. You go to Walmart. I have a fellow one time told me, he said, I went to Walmart and I was mistreated, and so I'm never going to go back to Walmart again. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But same people say the same thing about the church. They say, well, I'm not going to go back to church because, after all, I attended church one day and they mistreated me there. Well, you can't treat every church like that church. And can I tell you, just like you cannot treat that one Walmart and think all Walmarts are the same, they're under different leadership. They have different management, if you will, please. There's different people that work as a part of the leadership squad there. And can I tell you, churches are the same way. So don't give up on God all of a sudden when things come. By the way, while you're in the pit, there might be some mental challenges. In the pit, there's darkness. In the pit, it's deep. In the pit, it's lonely. In the pit, it seems like you're caged in by bars. In the pit, there is horribleness as you have things that play mind games with you while you're in the pit. David knew that. Over in Psalm 69 in verse 15, the Bible says, and David said, let not the water flood overflow me. He says, neither let the deep water swallow. It says, let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. So David was in a pit, and all of a sudden he felt like it was closing in. You ever feel that way? I remember one time I was preaching over in Thailand, and people in Asia, most of them, percentage-wise, have smaller bodies than American people. And I don't forget, I was in a taxi or something in a car, and I had four Thai guys beside me, four in the back seat, two up front. And can I tell you, all of a sudden it started closing in. You know, that claustrophobic type of thing just started closing in on me. Man, I put my hand on one shoulder and I put my other hand on another shoulder, and I said, fellows, you better pull this thing over. And they said, why? I said, because I'm about to throw up all over you. They felt divinely led of God to pull it over. All right? Now, can I tell you, sometimes when you're in a pit, you feel like things are closing in around you. Now, I'm speaking the truth and you know it. Sometimes when things are not going well in your life, you just feel like that I can't get out of this. I can't escape this. And if you're not careful, fear will begin to set in, and now you're going to be controlled by fear rather than the way that God's going to lead you out. Our Lord was challenged physically. Some people are challenged, if you will, please, mentally. Sometimes you'll be challenged spiritually. Sometimes you'll go through spiritual challenges. Over in Psalm 77, you see that David here beginning his psalm, and he is weeping as he begins the psalm. Over in Psalm 40 in verse 2, the Bible says, "And he brought me up also out of the horrible pit." It says, "out of the miry clay. And set my feet," it says, "upon a rock and established my goings." So God is the one that can help you to step up and out. I know I've told the story before, but you remember that old mule backed up and fell into the dry well, and that old farmer loved his mule, and he came and he dumped a dump truck full of dirt, and that mule began to go through all the cantations and snorting and everything and kept stepping and stepping. Finally, he stepped up on top of the soil that was the dirt that was poured in that dry well. And the farmer thought, well, I'll just keep doing it. And after about 5 or 10 dump trucks full of dirt, that mule stepped out on dry ground. And that's what you need to do in your life. Amen. Don't be overcome by circumstances. Circumstances, stay with the thought. Circumstances come and go.
Right. Yeah. Right.
If you got a bad day today, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a bad day tomorrow. If things are not going well right now, it's not time to become a church hopper and say, well, I tell you what, things have not been going well for me this month. Well, you got next month.
Amen.
Don't leave your wife over things that's not been going well for you the past 6 months. But by the way, when you come into the preacher's office and you've had a dysfunctional marriage and things are not going right, and you say, preacher, we've not had a good marriage in 7 years. Don't expect the preacher to pull out his pixie dust and put it on your head and all of a sudden things work out right, because after all, there's magic in the preacher's office. It's not so. If it took you 17 years to mess it up, it might take me 17 years to help you straighten it up. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there, and we're so impatient. Oh, we're so impatient. Well, I've been coming to that church for at least 6 months, and I thought that God would change my life, and God hadn't changed my life, and so therefore, I'm just going to start going to another church. Well, you ought not do that. Common sense tells you that's not good logic. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's conditions of the pit. I'm saying that there's challenges of the pit. Let me give you this and I'll close her down. And that is this. There's always a cure. Now, thank God you've got a God that always gives you a cure.
Yeah.
Thank God that you've got a God that, yes, there's a problem. And yes, there's different struggles in the life. But you've always got a God that will help you, that will encourage you. That, don't forget, he's the Lord thy God. The Bible says, and he changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Don't you forget that. You say, but preacher, I'm going through it all by myself. You're not going anything through anything all by yourself. If you're a child of God, you never go through anything all by yourself. He's there for you to help you and to be able to encourage you. The Bible says in Job 41, the Bible says in verse 1, that man is born of woman. It says, is few of days. Now listen to this. This should encourage your heart. And full of trouble. So you're going to go from trouble to trouble. You're going to go from challenge to challenge. You're going to go from difficulty to difficulty. Well, that doesn't mean that you cannot enjoy the state that you're in. Don't forget, Paul and Silas found themselves in a pit. Don't forget, while they're in the pit, the condition of the pit did not change. The challenge of the pit did not change. But here they are singing praises to God at midnight in the pit. See, you can be in a pit right now and things are not going well in your life. But first off, you ought not blame anybody else. It's your personal pit that God has assigned you to.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. But while you're in the pit, thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Don't question God. Hey, say, God, listen, thank God that I'm in the pit. Thank God there's some things I can learn in the pit that I could not. Here's what you do. You want to run from your pit. You want to try to escape your pit. And it might be God's will that you live in your pit for a year, or you live in your pit for 2 years, or you live in your pit for 3 years, or maybe the rest of your life. Because after all, you did not learn things from God out of the pit. So he's allowing you to stay in the pit because that's the only place he can get your attention. And that's the only place you'll learn.
Amen.
I'm saying tonight that there's a cure to the pit. Now, we don't want to abide in the pit. Is there a way for you to get out of the pit? Joseph, if you could. Think about Joseph. He was in the pit, but he couldn't help himself. But eventually he was sold into slavery, and he got out of the pit. There was Daniel in the lion's den. Couldn't help himself, but he prayed to God, as I'm sure Joseph did do. And God brought him out of the lion's pit. You remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, facing the fiery furnace, and those fellows that threw them in were very masculine men. The Bible says that they were men that were more masculine than the average guys that was in their military service. And all of a sudden, they came, they bound those fellows, they threw them into the burning fiery furnace. The Bible says that the clothes were not burned. Only thing that was burned off of them was the ropes, if you would please. Here they're walking around inside of their pit. And as the king looks inside of the pit, he says, well, there's one. He said, well, there's two. He said, well, there's three. Oh, wait, but there's four. And that fourth is likened on to, stay with it now, the Son of God. So you said, but preacher, you just don't understand it. Oh, I do understand it. I do understand it. There was a time in our ministry where we lived over in the New Orleans area, and we drove, how long, sweetheart? About 40 minutes? 40 minutes to church every Sunday. Did that for 2 years. You know why? Because God was teaching us some things underneath a man of God as I was entering into the field of evangelism and I was in transition. God was teaching me some things that I needed to learn underneath that man of God that I could not have learned any other place. What was taking place was this. There was a condition that I was facing. There was a challenge, but God was teaching me some cures. God was showing me some things. God was mentoring me. God was helping me. God was being able to work inside of me as he was taking and developing me for a further cause. Now, can I tell you, there's always a cure that God has. It might be the Lord walking with you. It might be you might be like a Jonah and you're on the run from God. Can I tell you, you cannot outrun the Lord. You cannot outrun the Lord. Jonah found himself in the belly of the whale. But also, can I tell you, for the cure of that which is the pit, you need somebody to help you out. You need somebody to help you out. Josh, come help me if you will, please. And so, let's say that Joshua finds himself in the pit. Now, he needs somebody to help him out of the pit. I'm not going to climb down there in the pit. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. By the way, if you do that, you're going to wind up, put that thing around your waist. You know, you're going to wind up down in the pit with them. You're going to do it. Those of you that don't know how to swim, I would not suggest you dive in after a drowning man. Now I'm saying, here's what happens. I can help him, but I've got to be able to help him in a scriptural way. I'm not going to go down and say, okay, Joshua, I heard that you're down in the bar. Now, by the way, it doesn't go, but I'm giving you an illustration. I heard you're down there in the bar. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come drink with you on Friday nights. And that way I can reach you. That's not God's way. And what I can do is I can throw him a long rescue rope. And I can stand up and I can try and pull. And I can try and pull. But I can't pull. He's got too much leverage. I mean, he's a fat boy. So I can't pull him up. There's just no way. I can put it around me and I can try to use all my muscles to try and pull him up. But it's just not going to work. It's a deep pit. It's a pit that's way down there. But what if I get the Father? And what if I get the Son? And what if I get the Holy Ghost? And what if I would take, and I also, being used of the Father, being used of the Son, and being used of the Holy Ghost, all three of us work together, and we try and pull him up out of the miry clay. You think we can do it? Sure, let's pull him up, pull him up. And here he comes, just so easy right there. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. I'm going to show you something. Sit down. Let's you stay. And put your feet against that thing down there. All right, here we go. Here's a rebellious son. Here's a daddy trying everything he can to pull his son up out of the pit. Everything he can. Now, can I tell you, that rope is going to snap before that boy's coming up. And that old man right there is going to get tired. All right, thank you. Now watch this. I'm going to tell you something. It's almost nigh impossible for you in such a wicked world. You need leverage. You need help. That's why you ought to be faithful to the local church. There's leverage. There's help. You got good leaders here. You don't just have a pastor that's preaching something and then you don't have people living it. You don't just have a pastor that's getting up teaching Bible principles, but you've got a good youth director. You've got a school principal that's here in the academy. You've got a Bible college administrator. You've got people that's over different functions that's in the church with all, and I can name all the functions. There's too many to name. But can I tell you, we've got so many things going on to be able to help people. That's what I'm saying. You've got a bunch of people that can help you.
Yes, sir.
So why are you still down there?
Yeah. That's right.
Why are you still down there?
Man.
Why are you saying, well, I tell you what, I can't make it. I'm struggling. Why don't you let somebody help you?
Man.
I mean, you got a preacher that loves you. You got parents that care about you. You got people that's pulling for you. You've got people that's trying to help you. And by the way, if you would let them help you, you can find out that by their help, you can get out of that pit. But you'll never get out by yourself. By the way, listen to me. You've already tried it and failed. What makes you think by trying it the same way you've always tried it and failed that you're going to be successful? Well, I'm my own man. I don't need anybody's help. How's that working out for you, Bubba? How's it working out for you? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just make it all by myself. You're in a miserable state and you know it. Now, why in the world you want to stay that way? Why don't you reach out to somebody and say, look, I need some help. I need some encouragement. I need somebody to pray for me. Hey, listen, why don't you decide to get on board and let God the Father help you? That'd be a good place to start.
Amen.
Why don't you let God the Son help you? That'd be another good place to start. Why don't you decide to let the Holy Ghost help you? That'd be another good place to start. Why don't you decide, Jerry, come up here. Why don't you decide to let a daddy help you? That'd be a good start. You're married, aren't you? Debbie, come up here. And why don't you decide to let a wife, your mama help you? That'd be another good start. Hey, why don't you decide to let, let's pretend. Let's get a school principal here. And come here, you're the principal now. School principal help you. Let's get you. Put you right here. Here you are, just right here. That's all you get right there. And that's Grandpa right there. Let Grandpa help. He don't have much influence, but he's got some. And all right, aren't you glad you're not Grandpa? And all right, now watch this. So I pick on him. I pick on him because of this right here. That's why I pick on him. And he's only 10 years older than I am, but it's okay. All right, now watch this. All right, but you got all that help. You got all that help. Now, it makes it a whole lot easier to pull somebody out of their pit if you got more help. You could change up this in any way you want to. You could put God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You could put a daddy, and you could put a brother. You could put a sister. You could put a Sunday school teacher. You could put a bus captain. Now, by the way, in order for us to pull him up, we've got to decide that we care. Now, God the Father is always going to care. God the Holy Ghost is always going to care. God the Son is always going to care. But we need a mama and we need a daddy that's going to care too.
Amen.
That's right. We need a principal. We need a Christian educator. We need a Sunday school teacher. We need a bus captain that cares too. See, I'm saying as we work together as a church family, we can rescue more people. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. But as we work together, we can see more people saved, more lives changed, more people helped, more people encouraged, more people come in the church, more people's lives getting victory in their lives as we work together. Listen, don't wait. I know the Ginger family's joining tonight, and I'm so very glad about that. But don't wait for them to join, and then all of a sudden them join, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get to know them. And it takes you a year to find out what their names are. Oh, but you say, preacher, the church is growing so much that I can't figure out everybody's name. Well, you can if you want to. Depends on your want to. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm done. All right? So all of a sudden, they pull him up. They pull him up. They pull him up. They pull him up. Now, wait a minute. He's a friend to somebody. Take that off. He's a friend to somebody. Let me show you how to stay out of your pit. Now, we got you out of the pit. But now, let me show you how to put this around you. And let me show you how to stay out of the pit. Here's how you stay out of the pit. Why don't you have good fellowship with God the Father?
Yes,
Why don't you have good fellowship with God the Son? Why don't you have good fellowship with God the Holy Ghost? Why don't you have good fellowship with Dad? Why don't you have good fellowship with a brother? Why don't you have good fellowship with maybe a mom or sister? Why don't you have good fellowship with your bus captain? Why don't you have good fellowship with your grandpa? I mean, people that are spiritual. All right, now wait a minute. Here he is, and he gets pulled out of the pit. Now, just because he's out of the pit doesn't mean that he might not slide back in. People do backslide. Now, you're all falutin' spiritual tonight, but can I tell you, there may be a day in your life when you backslide. All of a sudden, your brother, your sister backslides. You as a loving brother and sister ought to reach into their life and say, no, we don't do that. That's not the way we act. That is not the way that we talk. That is not the way that we dress. That is not the type of movies that we watch. That is not the type of music that we listen to. No, we don't do that. You ought to love a brother or sister enough to be spiritual for them. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, so now all of a sudden you see a friend and he's fallen in, but you've got the common sense. Man, you've got victory in your life. It's happened. You're out of the pit now. Best thing you could do to stay out of your pit is to team up with other people that's rescuing people, and you spend the rest of your life finding solid ground to be able to stand on, and you just keep rescuing other people. Because if you spend your life rescuing other people, you're not going to wind up in the pit. Because you're wiser than the pit. You're not going to go back to your drinking. You're not going to go back to your drugging. You're not going to go back to your illicit sex. You're not going to go back to your carousing around. You're not going to go back to watching the wrong things. You're not going to go back to being the wrong type of person. Why? Because God delivered you from that, and you know that God delivered you from that, and you don't want to go back, and so you rise up, and you say, I will never return, and to help you never return, you have good fellowship with God the Father, good fellowship with God the Son, good fellowship with God the Holy Ghost. Hey, get close to your parents that's living for God. Get yourself a good spiritual friend that's living for God. Then you get up there. You start casting that down. Look, I know that in some youth departments that it's in to be cool. Now, it should never be that way here. Never should be that way here. You see a cool dude, and he's walking around like, you know, he's some canary bird. He's walking around like, hey, you know, and he's talking bad about other people. He's trying to live for God. You brand him. Brand him. You stay away from that bird. Because that guy is going to hurt you. Because if he doesn't have the spiritual insight to try and encourage you to be spiritual, he's already on the downward slope. Now, he might not be there himself, but he ought to be trying. He ought to be somebody that's trying to give an effort. And if he's flunking, he needs help, but he can't be your helper. You got to find somebody that's on higher ground than him. Or you're going to wind up living your life in the pit the rest of the days of your life. You say, but preacher, I don't like this type of preaching. I'm telling you tonight, you need this type of preaching. You've got to decide that you're going to be somebody that's going to do something for God. All dead fish float downstream. You ought to decide tonight you're not going to be one like a dead fish. Hey, rise up. Get yourself some backbone. Stand up for God. Do something for God. Let somebody help you. Let them be able to toss your rope. And as they toss your rope, by the way, now it's easier. And when a friend, watch this, when a true friend tosses you a rope, it gets your attention. It gets your attention. When somebody really cares about you, tosses you a rope, makes you think. But what if your friend that says he's your friend doesn't ever toss you a rope? Think on it. Does he really care? And by the way, preacher can't do all this by himself. Don't work. You know why some preachers get discouraged and they quit the ministry? Because they got more people in the pits than they themselves can pull. And it gets pretty lonely pulling by yourself. And it gets pretty depressing pulling by yourself. It gets pretty overwhelming pulling by yourself. And you get tired of being beat up all the time. Doesn't have to be that way. You could be a friend. Could get close to God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Could have a dad in your life, a friend in your life, a mama, big sis. Could have somebody that cares that's maybe... See, there's more to it than just running a bus route on Sunday morning. Thank God for it, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it just coming in for preaching and letting the preacher holler for 45 minutes. More to it than that. I'm saying the way to stay out of your pit is stop selfishly looking at yourself saying, help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me. I'm so weak. Oh. You need to get involved reaching other people, helping other people, loving other people, and you'll never again fall back into the pit. But if you're all by yourself in self-pity and pride, can I tell you, that's where you're going to land every single time. Before you know it, after a while, you're going to give up on God, you're going to give up on manhood, and you're going to say, might as well stay here because I've tried to get out before, and it didn't work. That's because you tried to get out and you never will. Somebody tried to help you and you refused them. Then once you got out of the pit, you never invested in other people trying to get them out of the pit. And because of that, you fall back in again. God did not save you so he could just help you. God saved you so you could help others. And you need to spend your life helping others and getting other people out of the pit. Father, bless, I pray. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.